Shalom to everybody. Tonight we're continuing in Rav Kook in his commentary in Ayah on Masechet Shabbat. And what we're going to do today is in Perek Bet, second chapter, Resh Mem Hei, that's 245, on the Gemara on Masechet Shabbat on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And very short Gemara. The Gemara reads, if you remember, we've been talking about different signs that certain things, not that they're punishments, but if somebody has a particular problem, that's a sign that he should check if he has a certain spiritual problem. And here the Gemara says, Siman l'lashon hara askara. If a person talks lashon hara, one of the signs that he might get, in the olden days, it used to be leprosy. That was in the times of the Torah. But in the times of Chazal, they're writing this about 1,700 years ago. They're saying that askara, we don't know exactly what it is. It is something that makes it difficult to breathe, makes it difficult to talk. And as we'll see, Rav Kook is going to connect that with Lashon Hara, why that is the sign. Okay? So, paragraph Aleph. Im ha'adam mitzayer la'atzmo yafeh, kama gedola hi pu'ulat ha'lashon, ve'kama atzmu harisoteha betzeta ela po'al. If a person could imagine how strong are the words, the power of words, for good or for bad. Words can totally destroy a person. Today, I heard recently that the number of suicides among teenagers, even young teenagers, junior high, that's 7th and 8th grade, has shot up dramatically. Not a gradual rise, but compared to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when 7th, 8th, 9th graders didn't have cell phones, the problem of public shaming a friend on Facebook, calling somebody a name, all these types of embarrassments can actually kill a person. And Rav Kook is saying, just like speech, there's a power in words that can do a lot of good. There's also a power in words which is also terrible. Now, this reminds us, there's a famous pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs, in chapter 18, pasuk 11, source number 2. King Solomon writes, Mavet v'chayim biyad lashon ve'oaveh yochal piria. That life and death is in the hands of the tongue. And those who know how to use their verbal skills properly, they will enjoy they will reap the benefits. And also somebody who cuts down people, who embarrasses people, he will also reap the benefits. In other words, one of the superpowers that are in the world is the power of speech. Also, on this idea, I brought for you in Source 3, Chazal tell us in the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah 33, on the Pasuk, Al tonu ish et achiv, that a person is forbidden to hurt a person with his words. Even just to say boo, to scare somebody, that is forbidden. That is a Isur da'oraita, just like eating pig. How much more so to embarrass them, to say something that offends them, right? Whether it be laughing at their edah or at their person or how they look, etc. So Chazal say on this, Hahu dichtiv mavet v'chaim biyad lashon, like we just saw in Proverbs, that life and death depends on speech. Targum Akilas mitzdera mochirin mavet mikan v'chayim mikan. Now, when I prepared the shiur, I had to look up in the Jastro dictionary, what is a mitzdera? And I saw that it is a kli, it is a utensil, which on the one side is a knife, Now, on the other side, a spoon. And I don't know, I imagine it wasn't that sharp, otherwise people would have cut themselves when they were using the spoon. But the idea is that on the one hand, you can cut and slaughter with a knife, and on the other hand, it is sustains, it gives food. Barsira, Amar haital fanav gachelet v'nipeachba ubiara rakakba v'chibta. He gives another analogy of speech. He says speech is like a coal, where if you fan the coal, anybody who's ever done a cookout, a barbecue, you fan the coal and it ignites. On the other hand, if you spit on it or pour water on the coal, you extinguish it. In other words, that same thing can be either very dangerous or not. And then, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Aya kikar tavul. There was a loaf of bread, which was tevel. In other words, they did not take off the trumot or masrot, the tithes that, you know, in the land of Israel, you have to give a certain portion to the Kohen, a certain portion to the Levi. And this Rabbi Yanai, he had a loaf of bread, which they did not take off trumot or masrot yet. Shilo Yisro, Mavet biad lashon, Isro ve'achlo chayim biad lashon. The whole difference is if you say the bracha and you take off, you say that I'm giving this to the Kohen and this to the Levi, then the food is kosher. But if you don't say it, then that same food you're prohibited to eat. So again, we see a very interesting power of words. We know that, for example, in halacha, if a person swears, I will not drink wine, for example, then that wine for him is like eating pig. If a person says, I am going to donate this money to the local temple, then he's not allowed to use it for anything else. Then the Gemara continues and tells a famous story, which I just told my grandchildren as I put them to sleep. They're sleeping over tonight. I told them the following story. They enjoyed it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel l'Tabi Avdei. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel had a famous slave, a non-Jew named Tabi. Puk zabin leid sadum tava min shuka. Please go out and bring me the best food from the market. Nafak zabin leid lishen. Tabi was a very smart man. He went out and he bought a tongue. Amar le, and then Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says, thank you. Puk zabin litzadu bisha. Go out to the marketplace and buy me the worst food. Nafak zabin le lishan. He came back also with a tongue. Amar le maudin, what's this? Dichadana marlach tzadu tava zabin li lashan. When I ask you to bring me something good, you bring me a tongue. And when I ask you to bring something bad, you also bring me a tongue. Amarle, his slave Tabi, answered him, Mina tavta umina bishta. Kad havitav let tava mine, vikad bish let bish mine. When a person uses the power of speech to give compliments, to make people happy, to teach wisdom, to make a phone call to your parents, to your children, anything to make somebody happy with speech, there is nothing like the power of speech. On the other hand, whoever uses that speech to cut down people, to embarrass people, to gossip, there is nothing worse than the power of speech. In other words, this topic is loaded. It's either super good or super bad. Usually free will is divided between good and bad. Here, regarding speech, it's, as Rav Kook said, getting back to paragraph Aleph, anybody who's been around in the world knows that speech can be extremely destructive. Now, the question is, why is it so hard to control our speech? And here we're getting to the main point. We all know that it's hard to find somebody, even Orthodox Jews, even rabbis, who never speak gossip. Why is it so difficult? Rav Kook points out a very interesting point. Let's see paragraph Bet. Omnam. Yipol ha'adam pa'amim rabot bepacha kishalom. Very often people fall into the trap of speaking and wrong and hurting people. Why? Mipnei atziur shel kalut ha'dibur. Because it's so easy to speak. It doesn't cost money to speak. You don't have to go and buy anything in the store to speak. You don't have to prepare that much to speak. So therefore, people have a tendency to take speech relatively lightly, davka because it's so easy. People find it difficult to understand how an action which is so simple and so easy, how it could cause so much pain. What's the big deal? You don't have to strengthen yourself to speak. Even a person who's really weak, he can speak. It's hard to believe that something so easy can cause so much damage. And I have to admit, until I saw this in Rav Kook, I never really understood this aspect of Lashon Hara. So the question is, obviously, so why does God make it so easy to speak? Let's go on. Continues Rav Kook in Se'if Gimel.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, you said it's very easy to speak, but I think it's always said that the person should think before he said something.
Oh.
Yeah.
My father used to tell me that too. Unfortunately, I think you've been around at least as many people as I have been, and you probably have seen that most people really don't do that. And that's why we have to tell our children that, because it's a common problem. Because a lot of people shoot from the hip, as they say. They don't really think things out. They don't think. A lot of times, somebody says something that hurts a person, and he's so naive and so unthinking, he doesn't even realize what he did. And anyway, that's an important point. Rav Kook continues in paragraph Gimel. Al ken, hadavar hamesir et ahechsher, shel zeh hatziur hameshubash. If we have a problem that speech comes so easily and leaves our mouth so easily, and that is what causes us to speak without realizing the power of our words and without thinking all the time. Hu ha'ma'amad ha'gufani, so what is the, how can we fix this problem? Hu ha'ma'amad ha'gufani sha'al yado ha'adam margish kama hadibur u'ma'aseh gadol. Rav Kook points out that if a person is in a situation that he has difficulty speaking, you all see where Rav Kook is going? He's explaining why askara, the sickness, which makes it difficult to breathe, and makes it difficult to speak. Why is this the outcome or the educational tool to teach somebody not to talk Lashon Hara? Rav Kook is saying, if you find it difficult to speak, then you think before you speak. If anybody here has ever done a Tanit Dibur, there are those who, it's a custom, many people in yeshivas, that especially on fast days where we refrain from eating in order to analyze ourselves, to analyze our priorities, and to do tshuva, to repent, to improve. So they're one of the more constructive ways of utilizing a fast day. You can try it if you've never done it. It's a very interesting to do a ta'anit dibur. And that is not to speak secular things. If you're learning Torah, if you're praying, no problem. But to refrain for an entire day from speech, what do you do if you need somebody? Well, if somebody comes up to you, so you do what you prepare is a note saying, I am in a ta'anit dibur. I am not speaking today. And if there's an important question, so you can answer in writing. That's not considered speech. Now, from personal experience, I think anybody who's ever refrained for an entire day from speech and just puts things into writing, just puts his answers into writing, he thinks before he speaks, because it doesn't come out easily. And that's exactly how Rav Kook is explaining beautifully the Gemara, that the Midah Keneged Midah, the educational tool that God gives for those who speak Lashon Hara, it may be that they have difficulty speaking. Okay? And what is difficult speaking? Again, you notice what you're doing. Continues Rav Kook. Hu amar hagufani shal yado ha'adam margish kama hadibur umase gadol. When it's difficult to speak, that is when you appreciate how important it is to speak. Like with anything, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Anybody who doesn't have water appreciates water. Anybody who doesn't have money appreciates money. And the same thing, whoever has difficulty speaking, he begins to examine the power of speech. Veshilulei chesed elyon alav. Here is another point. Were it not for a special gift, a special chesed, kindness that God does, mipnei ha-te'udot ha-tovot ha-tadiriyot shu'tzarich li-taknan b'chol etu b'chol sha'ah. Why does God make speech so easy? Because there are so many good things that we could and should be doing with our speech. So God did us a favor and made speech very available. The problem is, very often we misuse this. Now, what does Rav Kook mean by to use speech positively? So let's jump in another place where Rav Kook goes into more detail. In source number 10, I brought for you from Orot HaKodesh. In the third part of Orot HaKodesh, Rav Kook dedicates many chapters to our topic, to the power of speech. And here on page 285, he writes as follows. Kishenishmato shel adam mit'ale. When a person's spirit rises, harehu margish biyoter et hagvura ha'atzuma shel koach hadibur. When a person is growing spiritually, developing a spirituality, he begins to realize how great he can use the power of speech. V'yodea be'emet et ha'erech ha'gadol shel kol dibur shelo. He values every word that he says. Et erech tfilato, for example, the power of prayer. Speaking to God is an unbelievable fortune. How many people get to speak to the king whenever they want? Birchotav, thanking God for everything. Thanking God for water, thanking God for our clothing, right? Again, when you put it into words and I say, thank you for my clothing, that's when I begin to appreciate that there are some people who don't have clothing. There are some people who aren't as fortunate. I might have mentioned once, I was giving a talk to a group of converts, And I was teaching them about brachot, the blessings. And the converts, when I told them that we have a bracha that we say, excuse me, when we leave the bathroom, after going to the bathroom, they couldn't believe it. Now, anybody who's ever had difficulties going to the bathroom realizes what a great chesed, what a great kindness that is. Et erech torato, continues Rav Kook. The ability to become a partner with God in writing his Torah. When we speak Torah, that is the oral law. That is our speech becoming godly. V'chol sichotav, all of our daily speech can and should be godly. Now, how can we make our daily speech godly? If you just think about what you can do in a conversation. For example, a compliment. I will never forget when I was in ninth grade, and during lunch break, we were playing basketball, and we had a Rebbe, Rav Moshe Chaim Sosevsky. Some people may know him. He lives in Beit Meir, and he was my ninth grade Rebbe, and he was watching the game, and somebody gave me the ball on the left side of the court, and I caught it, and I turned around to the left side instead of the right side, as most righties do, and it just put in a good shot. And I will never forget that Rav Soseski said to me, "Wow, nice shot, Ari." Now, when I was in ninth grade, I was 14, which means we're talking almost 50 years ago. And to this day, I remember that compliment. And I think if everybody thinks to themselves, you all remember a compliment that somebody gave you here or there, sometimes even 30, 40 years ago. And so why not give a compliment? Why not be that person to use that godly speech for good? You have to remember the power of speech. You know, when God breathed into Adam and it says, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim, and Adam was a ruach chaya, a nefesh chaya. Unculus translates it that God gave man the power of speech. God breathed into man that godly power to be able to do things with our words. Now, the same thing, if you take even a can of Coke and say to a woman, Hareat mikudeshet li, are you willing to be my wife in exchange for this can of Coke? They are man and wife. Now, he just said seven words, but they are man and wife forever and ever. And that is the power of speech. If a person makes a neder, you swear that I'm going to give 1,000 shekel to tzedakah. Then again, like we said before, that 1,000 shekel for you is just as much an obligation as saying the grace after meals, as not eating pig. It is, you have accepted upon yourself, you've invented a new mitzvah. That continues Rav Kook, Veta erech shel kol ha-dibur ha-klali, hu tzofe, v'chashu et tnuat ha-olam, v'tzisato ha-gdola sha-dibur po'el. The more a person is in touch with his soul, the more he is in touch with the godly power of speech. In other words, don't take speech lightly. Getting back to Rav Kook, again, in source number one, Rav Kook is saying that if a person takes his speech lightly, and that gets him to talk Lashon Hara, to hurt people, so the best way is for God to temporarily give him laryngitis or make speaking difficulty, and that way he'll realize how important and necessary speech is and how much good he can do with it instead of the bad that he is doing with it. Rav Kook continues in paragraph Dalet. Al ken, limchikata hechsher shemuniyata karat erech hadibur, muchenati hamachala hamazberet et hakol v'mechabedet et hadibur. Again, like we explained, la'ir et hatzad elyon v'chashuv sheyesh bedibur. The idea of when it's difficult for us to speak, we realize how much good and constructive I can use my speech. In short, in the world, life is based on free will, between choosing between good and bad. And everything can be used for good or bad. But there are some topics which are not good or bad. They are super good or super bad. And these are loaded topics. Chazal say this about money. Chazal say this about the sex drive. That these are drives that can either build a home, create worlds, create children, or they could be super destructive and get people off the track of living. Rav Kook talks a lot about speech. Let's see some other aspects. In source number four, this again is in Orot HaKodesh, the third volume, page 287. Hatze'aka. The name of the paragraph is the scream, the yell. Explains Rav Kook in source number four. Mamash kmo she'etz katan madlik et hagadol. Just like a little twig, a little match, can light a whole bonfire. Ubatzatat alita hidliku et esha ma'aracha. With one small twig in the Beit HaMikdash, they would light the whole fire of the altar, which burnt the sacrifices. Kacha, to the same extent, Tse'aka ktana v'dala, a small cry, Mevi'a lidei hitorerut nafshit v'sichlit gedola. When we hear a person, even a small cry, that can activate our emotions. I once saw, I remember when my when we had our first child, and my wife was nursing him. There's a classic book about nursing that it was Dr. Spock, right? I'm sure many of the Americans, Anglos, heard of Dr. Spock. And he talks there about, he doesn't say God, I guess. It's not accepted to talk about God in a book about science, but he talks about Mother Nature, how Mother Nature did such a wonderful thing that when a mother hears her baby cry, it activates the mammary glands, and she actually feels a need to nurse, even subconsciously. Physiologically, she feels a need to nurse. Now, it's the same thing, we fathers don't nurse, but anybody who's heard their children yell, Abba, especially with a cry, I know here in Kochav HaShachar we have 400 and so families, and Baruch Hashem, a couple thousand children, and about an average of 7 children a family, we once figured it out, and there could be 1,000 children, but if one of them yells, Abba, you see 400 people turn around. Because maybe it's my child who's yelling. And Rav Kook is saying this is another example of the power of words, of how somebody else's, he's not even putting into words. Sometimes just a cry, kal vachomer, how much more so, if a person really can word his ideas. We've all been in classes that people like Elie Wiesel, people like Rav Shlomo Riskin, some people just have the way with words that they know how to activate people. Rav Shlomo Karlbach, and again, this is a how much more so, even from a small cry. Another aspect of speech that Rav Kook talks about there in Orot HaKodesh, source number 5. Ha'adam yachol ladat et ma'amado haruchani al pi ha'bihirut shel hadibur shelo. Very interesting. A person can measure his spirituality, we can measure our godliness based on how we speak. Because again, speech is a godly gift. Speech is a godly gift. And when we use it properly, then that is, again, a reflection of our spirituality. In general, the Zohar talks about 3 different levels of action. There is thought, which we know is theoretical. There is speech, and there is action. Where the action is the most physical, the thought is the most metaphysical, and speech is right in the middle between thought and action. Now, how does it work? Let's look together in Source 8, where Rav Kook talks about Or Yashar B'dibur V'Ma'aseh, the straight light connecting speech and actions. Hasidur HaRa'oihu, the proper way of life, Hushit Malei HaRuach Machshavot V'Argashot. We should be thinkers. We should try and think as much as possible. Don't be robots. Don't act by rote, don't just do routine, but to be a thinker. Think before you eat. Look at the ingredients. Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Think before you dress. Think before you act. Think before you speak. So the more thinking a person is, the less animalistic he is, the more godly he is, because God thinks a lot. Uma she'en ha'rayon ha'pnimi yachol laset muchrachu litparetz ha'chutza. Sometimes when our thoughts and our emotions are so strong, we just have to express them in actions. When a person is madly in love, he needs to hug that person. You need to kiss that person. You want to give that person, right? But first, excuse me, I skipped a stage. Bitzura shel diburim. When a person is madly in love, first you have to say, I am madly in love. When you feel very strongly about a person or about something, you want to, it bursts out of your mind and emotion into words. Vehemem yisodeat filot vodaot. Rav Kook says this is what prayer, this is what saying thank you is about. That we appreciate, our minds appreciate so much what Hashem has given us, that we just have to say thank you. Our first words of the day, thank you, modeani. Halimudim vakriyot. And this is also what we learn about. If we read Tehillim, if we read poetry, if we read Torah, it can actualize those thoughts to become more actual. So again, we start with thinking, and then we move on to speech. Sometimes words are not enough. Because some things are just so full of light, you just have to express them. That's what I skipped the stage beforehand. Again, if a person is madly in love with someone, first you think it, then you say it, I love you, and then you want to hug them and actualize and express it physically. Rav Kook says that is the proper way. Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. Your actions begin with your thoughts. Or like Nomi pointed out before, like all parents tell their children, speak before you talk. On the other hand, b'pgimata. This is in paragraph 8-bet. If a person is not acting properly, if his life is not full of godly light, b'pgimata shel atchuna olamit, tzrichim lamtzi et hatochen milemata limala. If a person is not thinking idealistically, emotionally idealistic, and spiritual, so he can't work, he's not working from the top down. He has to work from the bottom up. Hamaasim ma'ururim et ha'erech hadiburi. First of all, even a person who doesn't feel like speaking to God, you know what? Open up the Siddur. Start saying the words. Those are actions. But then those actions really become your speech. And then, after you're speaking to God, then there's a chance that you might also really feel and think that connection to God. This is what the Sefer HaChinuch calls Acharei HaPe'ulot Nimshachim HaLevavot. Sometimes, even if you don't feel like doing the actions, continue putting on tefillin, continue benching, continue shaking lulav and etrog, even if you don't feel like it, simply out of loyalty, out of dependability. That's what a partnership and our connection with God is about. That's the minimum. Just do the action. Then, hopefully, the action will bring you to express itself in words, in prayer, maybe learning Torah, and then you can connect. In other words, the best way, the most godly way, is to think godly, think spiritual, then speak it, and then do the actions. Do the commandments, do good actions, moral actions, etc. But if for some reason that's not working, so do it from the bottom up. But either way that you go, speech is an important aspect. We'll finish off, we're running out of time, where Rav Kook writes in Source 9 about HaDibur VaMachshava Be'eretz Yisrael. Especially in the land of Israel, especially in the land of Israel, speech has a special power. Why? Rav Kook writes as follows: B'chutz la'aretz ein mitgale ki ma'erech shel ma'aseh. When we were in exile for 2,000 years, Judaism was actions. Chazal say in Masechet Brachot that the Torah, that is Judaism in Chutz La'aretz. You don't live Judaism out in the street, and not only that, even in the yeshiva world, for 2,000 years, Torah was learning Gemara. What is Gemara? How to eat your watermelon on Shabbat? How much do I have to pay if my ox gores your cow? These are practical ideas. But for 2,000 years, the topic of emunah, of learning Jewish philosophy, Kabbalah, Musar, Tanakh, was neglected in the yeshiva world. To this day, in the yeshiva world, almost all day and night, what they're studying is Talmud. And that was the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, is his actions. That was what was accepted in exile. But continues Rav Kuku, Be'eretz Yisrael, Ha'erech Shel Adibur, U'Babeit HaMikdash, Ha'erech Shel HaMachshava. Here again we see the threesome of actions, speech, and thoughts. Now, what are we talking about, thoughts in the Beit HaMikdash? You have to have the right thoughts of mind. If a Kohen thinks of giving the Korban for the wrong person, or say he thinks it's Tuesday and it's really Monday, or he's thinking of doing it at the right wrong time, or in the wrong place, that thought puzzles, prohibits the sacrifice. That is the level of the Beit HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael is like a microcosm of the Beit HaMikdash. In Eretz Yisrael, God speaks to the Jewish people. That's the norm in the land of Israel. There is nevuah, there is prophecy. There's only prophecy in the land of Israel. Like Jonah, who didn't want to get prophecy, he jumped on a boat and left the land of Israel. Rav Kook goes on to say the Hebrew language, which is connected with the land of Israel, the Kabbalah, the Shlach Kodesh, says that even though theoretically it's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew if you're living in Philadelphia, nevertheless, it's not very practical. And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein also says, in Igrot Moshe. He writes, yes, there's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew, but as long as we are in the exile, it's not very practical. On the other hand, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to point out, Rav Kook's son, he pointed out that as we return to the land of Israel and we are preparing for the redemption and the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth, it's not a coincidence that the Chafetz Chaim and Eliezer ben Yehuda came in the same generation, where the Chafetz Chaim purified speech, not to talk Lashon Hara, that's what his book is about, and Eliezer ben Yehuda hallowed speech by reviving Lashon HaKodesh to make it our language, even for secular things. In other words, everywhere in the world, theoretically, you can do actions. But the land of Israel is special that even our speech, whether it be prophecy, whether it be the speaking Hebrew, that is also holy. In Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash, there, even the thoughts are on a higher level. To summarize what we've seen, is Rav Kook has shown a lot of different aspects of the power of speech, whether halachically, whether philosophically, and the key to understanding the power of speech is not to take it lightly. The fact that God made it so easy to speak does not mean that it's not a heavy topic. Don't make that mistake. Ad kan.